Now, Dr. Joe knows that the school and her district are not performing at the level they need to yet. District-wide, 70% of students are still not proficient in reading and math. Still, Kansas City's earned 60% of the possible points in on its state report card. That was up from 20% in preliminary assessment last year. 50% was the cutoff to be considered for provisional accreditation. Missouri Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro still wants to hold off. She joins us now over the phone from Jefferson City. Welcome to KC Currents, Dr. Nicastro.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. Pleasure to be with you.
Dr. Nicastro, why not give Kansas City credit for the improvement it's made?
I think that the way the system is set up, Sylvia, they certainly do get credit, and we're very pleased to see the work that Kansas City and the folks in Kansas City have done in this past year. What's important is that we look at sustainable improvement. In our former system, our former school improvement accountability systems, we had very little flexibility in terms of making decisions about when districts would be accredited or when they would change their status. Under the current system, we've deliberately designed it so that we can identify trends over what we would prefer to be a three-year period in order to ensure that whatever improvement we see can and will be sustainable.
And what are the implications of having an unaccredited school system? Does it hurt kids trying to get into college?
You know, we've been very, very, I guess, gratified to see that generally colleges and universities, at least to our knowledge, have not penalized individual students for what may be the systemic failure of their school district. We've noted that as we've tried to track that information, that we've not seen individual kids handicapped by that status. I think it's important, however, to communities that their schools reflect quality, and certainly we know that having an unaccredited school district can and does have implications on the community itself.
So is it more that the factors leading to it being unaccredited are the problem rather than the fact as to whether it actually is accredited or not accredited?
It's the accreditation system in our state is one that's made up of multiple measures. One of the things that we think is an advantage for our system over some states use is that we do use multiple measures. It's not just one test score on one day that determines that status for school. So those multiple measures are all things that we believe are important, things like academic achievement, attendance, the college and career ready measures that we use of ACT, SAT, ASVAB, all of those things are indicators of performance that we think give us a really robust picture of how the district is doing.
And were you surprised, considering all those measures, that the district managed to make the gains it did on the state report card?
Well, we were hopeful. We certainly are in close touch with the school district. We have staff people who work with them on a regular basis. And we have been very encouraged by Dr. Green's leadership and that of his leadership team. We also know that because the new accreditation system is designed to give credit for growth, that districts like Kansas City that are struggling will, in fact, be able to show growth 1 year over another. But that's exactly why it's important for us to have more than 1 year of data. 1 year of growth could be attributable to many factors. We're hoping that it's due to systemic changes that will have implications over time. But until we actually have that additional data, we can't determine that for sure.
How much variation do you see from year to year on test scores?
Really very little. If you look specifically at the academic scores, there has been very little change in Kansas City over the years, particularly in math and communication arts. They did show a pretty significant increase this year in social studies and science. Again, that could be attributable to many factors. We're hoping that that's sustainable improvement. But until we have additional years of data, it's going to be difficult to make that call.
Kansas City, what do you think about the implications of the school district's accreditation? Are you concerned about the impact of the district's accreditation on other local districts? Join our conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or tweet us at Casey Currents. You can also go to our Facebook page. Now, what do you want to see for Kansas City to regain provisional accreditation?
We have a system in place that's based, as I said, on multiple years of data. So originally, when we put out the guidance for our current system, what superintendents all over the state actually encouraged us to do was to wait until 2015 before we would reclassify schools. And that is what, in fact, we agreed to do. Districts everywhere, not just Kansas City, but as you can expect, districts all over the state were concerned about a new system of accountability. Any time you change systems, there are always some questions and some uncertainties about what that might look like. So we agreed to hold off until 2015 before we made any of those calls for districts. Of course, right now, that decision does not particularly serve Kansas City's interest, and we certainly understand that. But nevertheless, we believe that was the right thing to do, not only for the sake of the districts, but because we want to maintain the integrity of the system that we've established.
And, of course, a lot of other area districts were hoping that Kansas City would regain that provisional accreditation, because if the district remains unaccredited, that means by next year, kids will be able to transfer to neighboring accredited districts like Raytown or Independence. Now, that's all depending on the results of a case that's currently before the Missouri Supreme Court, but it's already happening in the St. Louis area where two districts are unaccredited and thousands of students have transferred. What's your take on that situation?
Well, we understand the concerns of some of the neighboring districts. I would say a couple things. One, we haven't gotten a Supreme Court decision yet, so I think that we certainly need to wait until we get that before we can make any decisions about how that will be played out in Kansas City. Secondly, the accreditation system is about district performance, and for us, that means specifically focusing on how kids are doing. There's no reason to have any accountability system at all, or transfer law or anything else unless we're concerned about individual children and how they are performing. The job of education is to, in fact, prepare kids for success. So, as we look at these data, I think that while there are a lot of adult issues that are associated with the transfer issue and districts have legitimate concerns about that, we still have to focus on how kids are performing and how kids are being served in their home districts. Having said that, superintendents in both the St. Louis and the Kansas City area are, they're anxious to serve kids. They also understand that under the current transfer law that the sending district cannot survive financially. So I think that those are issues that the legislature is going to have to wrestle with. The current law simply is not going to be one that we can sustain indefinitely. And at some point, we're either going to have to eliminate that, amend that, or figure out some other way to provide quality schools for kids.
And that was your recommendation, that the legislature eliminate this school transfer law at the hearing they had a few weeks ago?
Yeah, we presented several options. One was to eliminate it. That was our first. The second option was to make a couple changes in the law itself that would make it possible for that program to be sustained with some changes. And then the third recommendation we made, and this is really the one that we're devoting our time and energy to, and that is developing a long-range plan for how we address the needs of children in failing districts around the state. We have tried over several years to do a number of things to support and intervene districts that aren't performing at the level that we expect, and none of those has proven to be particularly effective over time. So we are looking at trying to figure out what's a better system. How can we organize ourselves statewide and locally to deliver quality schools to every child where they live?
And speaking of which, one intervention the state has made has been in St. Louis. It's been 6 years since the state took over St. Louis's public schools, and they're still provisionally accredited. And the schools actually did a lot worse than KC on the state report card. I think they got about 25%, where KC got 60% of the possible points. That doesn't seem to bode well for a state intervention.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. Up till now, up until August 28th of this year, the State Board of Education only had three tools at its disposal for intervening in a failing district. One was to put a special administrative board in place, which is what happened in Kansas City, or I'm sorry, in St. Louis. Actually, in St. Louis, they're governed by a different law, so the State Board itself did not appoint that special administrative board. But nevertheless, when that happens, the governance of that district transfers to that special administrative board, not to the State Board of Education. So it's that SAB that has been governing the district and does govern the district. The other two tools that have been at the State Board's disposal have to do with merging the district with another or dividing it up. We've tried pieces of all of that, and again, hasn't proven to solve the actual problem, which is performance at the local level. Hmm. That's why we're looking for an alternative. We think this is the time for us to come up with something that can be more creative and provide better services to kids.
Kansas City, what questions do you have for Missouri Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro, we're talking to today? Call 816-235-2888, or you can go to our Facebook page, the KCUR Facebook page. So you're talking about some of those other options. Are there some on the table now?
We're working on a plan to develop a system of support and intervention statewide that will make sense. What we know for sure is that Kansas City and St. Louis and other parts of the state are very different. They have distinct needs and distinct community issues that drive whatever that looks like. So while we would be interested in developing some state level of support or some state network that the department would be responsible for operating, again, that governance is going to have to take place to a large degree at the local level. What we know for sure about school improvement is that it happens one school at a time. When you talk about school improvement, you have to focus on what happens in classrooms, teaching and learning. The principal you had on previously, I think, articulated that very well when she said, we're focusing on what we do for kids and how we improve our classroom practice so that kids can be successful. That's exactly what needs to happen.
And is one possibility to just let the district continue on with its plan that it's put into place with the state, of course?
Well, there are lots of possibilities. And, it's one reason, though, some have said, why haven't we intervened as yet? Since August 28th, the State Board has the authority now to do something different. And I think we would just remind people that, first of all, that law did pass, and we do have that, the State Board does have that authority. However, the law also requires that we do some preliminary work and that we engage the community and get people's ideas and be very very transparent about what that looks like. So at the current time, we're conducting some focus groups, some interviews, we're gathering information, we're analyzing previous plans, we're looking at what successful districts around the country may have done. And then in January, we're planning to roll out the structure of a draft of a plan for community feedback and input. And we certainly would invite all of your listeners and others in Kansas City to weigh in on that.
And there are a lot of skeptical people in Kansas City thinking we've had consultants here before. I know there's some consultants that are being funded by the Kauffman Foundation. I think another group here working with you all to begin these community-wide discussions. But it's been happening for many years now. What's going to be different this time?
Well, I think that in the past what we've tried to do is tweak a system that hasn't worked. And what we're doing now and what we've asked our consultants to do is to really start with the with a blank page. We need to get beyond the constraints of the school districts and the school systems and the structures that have traditionally governed our schools, and start with the child. You know, if you plan from the child up and out, I suspect that some of those structures that we've had in place for generations may look very different.
You're listening to Casey Kearns on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. We're talking with Missouri Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro. Have you noticed a change in the Kansas City public schools? Do the numbers match up to your experience? Give us a call, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can email us at kcurrents@kcur.org. Commissioner Nicastro, I think to ask a broader question, you're talking about looking at the whole child. You know, many Kansas City educators say that ultimately the challenge here is not the district, the governance, but the same challenge that schools around the country face in educating poor kids. Do we as a society know how to do that?
You know, I do think that we do. I think there are teachers and principals all over the country who have done that successfully. We can point to examples of individual schools that continue to make progress and that have really done a good job of bringing kids along. There's a whole body of research out there around 90-90-90 schools. That is, 90% of the kids are on free and reduced lunch, 90% of the kids are minority, and they're achieving at the 90% or better level. So it is those practices, it is the practices of those kinds of schools that we really need to learn from and try to figure out how can we combine all those practices into schools in an entire community so that we can serve an entire population.
Do we have any of those schools in the Kansas City area or in Missouri?
Not right now.
I wonder, are there districts in the country that are achieving that?
At the district level, I don't know of any that does that district-wide. Again, I think we're focusing on individual schools.
Now, I want to ask about some of the other districts in the Kansas City area that made some big gains on their state report cards. There was the Center School District in South Kansas City and Grandview. And, of course, there was a new form of assessment of these districts, so gains is a difficult term. But what do you think accounts for their successes? They are also educating low-income populations, although maybe not as extreme as the Kansas City district.
I think that those superintendents would tell you that exactly what I've just said, that it's school improvement happens building by building, that they have focused a lot of their time and attention on attracting and keeping good teachers and principals and focusing on those practices that have proven to be effective. In both districts, they've been using some instructional strategies that appear to be producing results. And obviously, they're doing a good job with that.
And have you been to visit those districts here? Do you think that there's some communication that can happen between them and Kansas City?
Well, I do think they communicate. The superintendents in the Kansas City area, like in other parts of our state, do get together and talk to each other and exchange ideas regularly. So I think there's a lot of that discussion already going on. There's professional development activities that have been happening in the Kansas City area that most, if not all, of the districts participate in. So there's a lot of opportunity for them to share, and certainly we encourage them to continue to do that.
We have a call here from Leslie in Kansas City. Leslie, do you have a question?
I do. So for 4 years, we've been struggling in our district, and the same oversight committee has been looking at the performance of our district. So I'm wondering what's doing differently now versus the last 40 years to help us right the ship.
And that's DESE, the Department of Education, Elementary and Secondary Education, that Commissioner Nicastro heads up. How can you address Leslie's question? What's different now?
I guess I didn't catch the beginning of her question. But,
well, that for 40 years, there's been some kinds of interventions.
Well, yes, and I would just restate that the interventions we've done previously and others have tried previously, focus on the system as it exists. And what I think we've discovered over the years, and Kansas City certainly is a great example of that, is that irrespective of leadership, who the superintendent is or who the board is, or what specific program they put in place here or there, the system itself has been broken for so long that it's very difficult for those folks to overcome the dysfunction of the system itself. So, again, we're starting at the child level. We're trying to figure out what are the necessary components that we need to put in place to intervene on their behalf, and hopefully we can come up with something better.
And what do you say to principals like the one we spoke to at the beginning of the show and the superintendent who really are discouraged by the fact that despite those gains, they haven't achieved provision, or they may not, depending on the State Board of Education's decision, achieve provisional accreditation?
Well, you know, accreditation is the outcome. It's not the goal. And I think that the goal is to improve performance for all children. And if they do that, the accreditation will take care of itself.
Will you be here? I mean, what are you hearing from people in Kansas City?
What am I hearing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm hearing all kinds of things. I think that there are many folks who are very disillusioned, like your previous caller, and I think there are people who are very energized and excited about what's happening in the district now. My sense of folks in Kansas City is that they're tired of dealing with this, that they really want their kids to have access to quality schools, and they are really looking for somebody, something that's going to make a big difference that so that they can be assured their kids are going to have that access.
Well, Dr. Chris Nicastro, thanks so much for joining us on KC Currents.
You're very welcome, Sylvia. Thank you.
Chris Nicastro is the Education Commissioner of the state of Missouri. After the break, hear the story of a local Latin musician turned community activist. This is KC Currents.